Hey there! Welcome to the Horrible Show. We're back. It's Tuesday, July 6th, after the holiday weekend, and we're here for Horrible Show minicast with Cole out in California. Cole, how you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm just as bland as you are right now.
That's what I'm about, blandness.
Blandness. And Christina is also joining us here in Indy. What's up, Christina?
Not much. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm just swell. Thanks for asking you.
Super.
What? Are you...
What's wrong with you?
Just got too many voices going on.
I know.
I'm drinking a little tonight.
I support that.
It enhances the podcast. At least in my own mind.
It's in 3D.
Enhanced Christina. No 3D jokes. I'm sick of 3D. And I'm your host, J Devil, Justin. Happy to be here. And let's get caught up on what everybody was up to this weekend before we dive into video games. Cole, what was going on in California?
Fireworks, man. It was 4th of July.
Out there too?
Yeah, we celebrate it. I was working, so I didn't really celebrate it, but I heard firework booming.
That was gunfire.
Oh, yeah. Sadly, that's probably true.
Still celebrating the Lakers' victory.
Oh God. let's see. I played some video games, and I watched some movies. That's what I do. I've been playing Mass Effect. Still beat Shadow Complex.
Nice.
Which is awesome, but
was it the system seller that you hoped it would be?
It was. Nice. I want to play a sequel really bad.
Yeah.
But I'm writing a review right now, so that should be up this week. I can't really think of anything else, really.
No movie stood out?
Not any I want to mention, actually.
I don't know what
but
that
I, but I will. I watched I watched Valentine's Day this week with my wife.
Oh.
Yeah.
What'd you do wrong?
Watch Zombieland the day before.
Zombieland's a good movie. I don't understand. That is good entertainment. She should thank you for that, not put you through a chick flick. But
yeah, well, it happens.
Gotcha. What about you, Christina? What'd you do for the 4th and around the 4th?
I went nowhere. I have a wonderful view of downtown, so I was able to see multiple firework displays just from my apartment. So,
wow.
Booyah.
Did they tell you that when you rented the place, that was a bonus?
A feature?
Yeah.
Depends on... didn't know which apartment I was getting, so it kind of lucked out.
I might charge you more for that.
Oh, I'm probably paying a lot more for the firework view. So...
The once-a-year firework view.
Yep. Oh, no, no.
That's where they get you.
Victory. Is it Victory?
Victory Field.
Victory Field, yes.
Yeah, they shoot them off every Friday or whenever they have a game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they
baseball,
did it.
Baseball fan, are you?
Yeah, big baseball fan. I go every Friday, right? Right. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's the Pacers, right?
Touchdown. Let's see, what else did I do? A friend of mine got me Left 4 Dead on PC and Left 4 Dead 2 as well.
I'm really bitter about that. I told you that.
Who is this friend and why are they buying you games?
Well, he's been bugging me for a long time to play that with him, and he's converted over to PC only. He used to have an Xbox, and I had it in my Netflix or my Gamefly queue for a while, and I was trying to get him to jump back on the Xbox, and he said, not going to happen. But so, as a compromise, he bought me Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, which is incredibly nice. So, I owe him. So, yeah, we were playing that on and off this weekend. And, man, it's really hard for me to get into it. I mean, just get the hang of it. It's fun, but, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I am definitely a newbie in that game, and which is not normal for me.
Well, so, Coop and I, Coopopolopolis, and I started playing Left 4 Dead co-op last week on Xbox, and been trying to recruit everybody to come play. Yeah, we've lost two people to the PC so far, and I just don't understand it.
I prefer the console. I really would prefer having a controller in my hand as opposed to a keyboard. But that's just me.
Well, we'll figure out some reason to buy you a copy just so we can have a full group
sure.
on there.
Oh, and I almost made the mistake of going to see The Last Airbender this weekend, which fortunately someone sent me a text a couple hours before we were supposed to go that said, by the way, have you checked Rotten Tomatoes? You sure you want to go to this? And said, how bad is it? And they texted me back 7%.
Yep.
That is really, really bad. I'm just shocked that M. Night Shyamalan managed to screw up. And actually, a really awesome series. I was very anti-Last Airbender for a while just because it was American animation trying very hard to be Japanese animation as far as the look of it. But I finally gave in one day and I watched it, and it is very well done. Great writing, great color palette, very good animation, good story. So I was really looking forward to this movie. ILM was doing the effects, and once again, M. Night Shyamalan, Shyamalan and Ding Dong, dropped the ball.
Yeah, I think they should drop his name from all of his movies from now on.
Dude, you should Seriously. Read some of the reviews. The people on Rotten Tomatoes are saying like he should be put into a trunk and dumped somewhere. And I mean, they're really violent.
Well, you should go back and buy that friend that warned you. Buy him a video game that deserves.
Yeah.
That deserves.
Yeah.
So I went out Friday night for a buddy's birthday. And had the most amazing hamburger I've ever had in my life. Usually when someone recommends you go to a restaurant and they have the special and your friend's recommending it, it never turns out to be as good as they say it's going to be. But this Cuban hamburger, which is the burger of the month at this place, was just phenomenal. It's basically a hot ham and Swiss sandwich with a hamburger in the middle.
What?
Yeah, it is.
Wait, ham with beef?
It's hamburger, ham, Swiss cheese, pickles, some sort of spicy mustard that I didn't get on it because.
So it's a Cuban with a hamburger in there.
Whatever.
It's literally a hamburger.
I don't understand the Cuban part, but.
Whatever. I think there's a sandwich called the Cuban. I think that's what it is. Without the hamburger.
I'm assuming that's where they got the name from it. But the other thing is then they flipped the bun inside out and like buttered it and grilled it too. And I've never eaten a burger that fast in a very, very long time. It was awesome.
And where was this?
Screw this podcast. I'm going to go eat.
This is just.
Where was this? Are you keeping this a secret or are you going to share it with the class?
I'm just going to hold out for a little bit longer since you want to know. It's at Scotty's Lake House up in Geist.
Scotty's, yeah.
So
I've heard of that place.
We'll tweet about it and he'll respond because he's really good about that. and then we went back and had some drinks, and about 1 in the morning, we sat down to play a quick game of Risk. Because I've been talking about Risk factions for so long last week that I actually talked him into downloading it. He's a big fan of the board game. And three of us played it for about 4 hours that night. The first game. Well, the first game actually only took about 45 minutes because I just blew through the map and the other guys didn't really know what they were doing. But the next one we thought would take, an hour or so, and it took a good 2 hours, and it was it was a lot of fun. It's I still recommend it because I just keep coming back to the fact I can't believe it's $10. It just, from its presentation value, it seems like it would be a $15 game, and it's got classic Risk built in, so you've got that if you want it, but it's also got this kind of bizarro, cartoony, faster version on top of it. And
were you guys playing just online, or is there local?
We were playing local, so we were throwing controllers and getting all kinds of pissed off. It was awesome. So
that's cool.
Yeah. My classic moment was the tide was about to be turned. I was having my capital city attacked, and he came in with 10 men to my one in my city, and I fended him off.
Nice. I'm going to have to get that game.
Yeah, I recommend it. I really do. All right. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the bulk of the video games, and we're going to start off with our on-the-spot question, and then our topic for this evening, this morning, or whenever you're listening to it, for us right now, is there's kind of the summer lull of video games, and it's kind of the time to catch up on the games that you haven't gotten to that have been in your queue for a while, and so we're going to kind of go over our list of games that we may actually have time to do in the next couple of months before all the games start coming out again in the fall. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about HorribleNight.com, and then we'll get out of here with some parting words. So the on-the-spot question this week actually came from Coopman on Twitter, also Coopopolopolis again on Xbox Live. He wanted to know, what game was our first all-nighter? So, Cole, we'll start with you.
Well, it's no secret that I buy systems for, like, one game, it seems like. And back when the PlayStation came out, I didn't get it right away. But when Metal Gear Solid was announced, I had to get my PlayStation. And that was the first game. I think the day that I got it, I stayed up all night and playing it. And it was my first all night video game, as well as the first video game I ever fell asleep playing. Like sitting in the chair, just falling dead asleep and waking up and be like, what the hell? So that was it.
I remember when that demo came out, just how unbelievable that was. And but I never actually had a PlayStation, so I didn't get to play that till it came out on GameCube, actually. So so was that, I don't know, was that falling asleep in your basement type? Was that
I was in my basement all by myself trying to keep the volume down because the basement's right underneath my parents' room. So.
Oh, yeah, don't wake them up.
Yeah, I might have yelled a curse or two, and that would have been bad. But, yeah, it was started becoming, when I woke up, I probably woke up at like 6 in the morning. And I don't even know what time I fell asleep, probably like 4:35, and it was daylight. I heard the birds chirping. I was like, "Oh shit!"
That's always the moment the bird chirp. Do you remember if you beat it that weekend or that upcoming day?
I don't remember. I don't think so. I don't. I think I didn't play it for a couple days after that.
Gotcha.
Decided other things to do.
What?
You know, back in high school, you played sports and stuff, so they don't get in the way as much now.
You were outdoors.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore, but I used to.
Outdoors? Yeah, you didn't know who you were hanging out with, did you, Christina?
We were athletes.
Nobody believes that anymore.
I know.
Anyway, Christina, how about you? What was your first all-nighter you remember?
I believe it was Final Fantasy XI. I got sucked into that MMORPG.
Wow.
For 2 years. And I had to stop because it was either play games or learn how to do 3D, which is the whole reason why I went to college. So, yeah, I was actually surprised how easy it was to quit once. I was really excited about doing 3D finally. So,
nice.
But yeah, I spent many nights because it's not a game that you can just play for like an hour or two, unlike World of Warcraft. And I know that people do spend hours and hours on there at a time. It is still built in a way that you can do small things in a short amount of time and still get somewhere. Mm-hmm. In Final Fantasy, that's not the case. You have to spend. It would take an hour or two just to find the right combination of people to and the right level and the right job to go out and do a party and level up or missions or whatnot. So that was a pain in the ass, just all the waiting.
Yeah, that game always sounded like like work to me compared to the other ones. But
it was fun. I liked this. You know, once you got going, it was a lot of fun. I love Final Fantasy, but damn.
Yeah, I have no idea how many all-nighters I lost to World of Warcraft during my... I think I was addicted for about a year and a half. But we all have those moments of weakness. It's okay. It's okay. You've made it out. You're a better person. So.
Yeah, but Star Wars, man. That Star Wars game's coming back. I don't know.
We already talked to your future self.
Know,
it's fine.
I know. She's deaf.
And she's a man. That was the weird thing that weirded me out.
What do you mean she was a man? I didn't get that.
Because Ben answered you. Ben answered as Christina from the future after you finished talking. So I thought it was funny. My last question with that was, when you played that game, did you play with people you knew or just people online?
I didn't personally know anyone.
Okay.
The people that I did know were on different servers, and there was no easy way to switch over.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
That probably helped you quit a little easier than...
It's amazing how much I started to care about those people, and then... Like, and how easily I was upset if they said something to me online. I'm like, geez, I don't even know this guy. Why is he getting under my skin? So, yeah, another sign of horrible addictions.
Yep. Well, we're glad you made it out.
I care too much.
Wow.
I'm going to go ahead and talk to myself and ask myself the question. J-Devil, what was your first all-nighter? On the site, it actually has the wrong answer because I thought about it some more. On the site, I have very, very fond memories of my first all-nighter with Resident Evil 1 when my buddy and I rented a PlayStation for the weekend, and that game scared the hell out of me, so it just kind of stood out in my head. But there was a game for the SNES that I remember playing through. It's the only game I remember renting and then renting right away again. Like I took it back and asked to rent it again, and that was Earthbound on the Super Nintendo. And I don't know what it was about that game. It's just that the quirky style and characters and the RPG story I was addicted and I didn't want to put it down. And I knew it was really expensive to buy, and I thought it would be hard to get again. I just felt like I had 3 days to beat this game, and I had to try to do it. And I, even after renting it again, I remember I never finished in that sitting. It I didn't finish it until college when I had to get it on the emulator. So
didn't it come with the strategy guide in the box?
I didn't use it though. I had a thing. I couldn't use the strategy guide until I beat it once. So.
Oh yeah, I just remember the big ass box in the store.
Big ass box in the store, and no one ever bought the game because.
Yeah. And it was like $80.
Yeah, that's why we haven't gotten a true sequel out here in the States. Kind of sad, but.
Did you also think it was Resident Evil and played it all night because you guys didn't have a memory card and couldn't save?
Maybe. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was. We just kept it paused and. Because the dogs kept scaring the shit out of us, man. That was
those goddamn dogs.
That was intense. All right. Well, now that we're in the groove, let's move on to our main topic at hand. All right. What game are you anxious to play, Christina? That's been sitting in your queue for a while.
That would be Heavy Rain for the PS3. Only for PS3. I remember watching a trailer or maybe a kind of test of the game engine. I think a couple years before the game actually came out, and one of the characters was doing like an audition for a part in the game, and I just remember the animation wasn't top notch, but they were definitely trying to show that we've got Rain, we've got decent facial animation and just kind of set up the whole theme of Heavy Rain. It was going to be very cinematic and a drama / thriller. So I just played the demo, I think last week, and it still looks interesting. The controls are very awkward though, and I don't know. It probably will not be one of my favorite games, but I would like to just see the story. So I'll put up with the button smashing, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, I'll be really interested in your take, because you tend to go towards the story more than most. And I mean, that's I after you play it, I want to know if you even consider it a game, because for those that don't know, that I mean, they've really been pitching it as more of an interactive experience, and you know, I think it's the closest thing anyone's made on a console, and not like a web game or anything, but to a choose your own adventure book. Like, it's that you're kind of faced with decisions, and the story changes based on those. And but the difference is, in this game, you can't read it backwards to cheat. So
right. Now, so you've played through it?
No, I've read a lot about it, really kind of fascinated with it. And it's probably in my distant queue, like when it really drops in price, or I have some weekend I didn't anticipate having free time to play, and I might go pick it up then. But I really want to just experience that game, just from it being so different, for sure. Looks really, really interesting. But I still, and also you've played Alan Wake, and I'm kind of the mind that there's something in between. Everything I've read that's bad about Heavy Rain, about it being kind of unplayable and frustrating, just like it takes you out of the story when you actually have to do anything. And then the strengths of the way Alan Wake told the story, but the gameplay still got in the way. I think there's something in between those two games that can give you an interactive experience that still feels more than a movie, but really focuses on the story. But
yeah.
Hey, Uncharted 2 does a pretty good job of that.
That is a very excellent point. Like, they proved that the story doesn't have to get in the way of the gameplay, and vice versa, for sure.
Yeah. Which game is that?
Uncharted 2.
Oh, Uncharted. Yes, very much so.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. I mean, that story is better than 95% of the action movies that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And better than Indiana Jones 4.
Definitely.
Could have used some ideas from the Uncharted crew.
Sure.
No aliens. God, Lucas.
All right. Cole, what about you? What's in your queue?
Left 4 Dead 2 is in my queue. I didn't get a chance to play the first one and haven't played the second one. But I've always been really intrigued by Valve's games. You know, they have a pretty good track record of what they do. And a lot of people were complaining that Left 4 Dead 2 was just more of the same of Left 4 Dead 1. Well, I didn't play the first one, so I'm sure, I'll take two. I don't know. I like killing zombies as much as the next guy. And
so have you seen
it? I haven't
it?
Played any zombie games.
Have you seen it played at all?
No. Well, I've seen like Giant Bomb's quick looks and stuff, but that's okay. It.
No, I remember. I remember when the demo came out for the first one. That I was just shocked at how fast the zombies were. Like, that's what really stood out to me. It's like, this game's a lot more fast paced than I expected, and just crazy and scary because of it. And I didn't put any heavy time into the first one, because none of my friends at the time were really online regularly. And Christina, you've experienced that with our crew. But so there was no way I was going to get an online-only game. But I ended up picking up Left 4 Dead 2 when it went on sale earlier this year. Haven't put much time into it until Coop and I decided to kind of make it our co-op game of focus right now.
That was part of it too, when you guys had talked about playing it. I kind of wanted to jump in and have a game where I could play with you guys.
We could use some help, because I fucking hate the AI in that game. Like,
really?
They are just retarded. And, oh, man.
And it's not very expensive right now. It's like $40, so...
No,
that's also very appealing.
And they've you know, they did the DLC add-on that ties it back into the first game a little bit,
right.
And they've got mutators added onto the game that changes the gameplay a lot and harkens back to my favorite things about Unreal Tournament back in the day when they had mutators and just adding, you know, craziness, a crazy X factor to playing through again. And I'm hoping we play quite a bit of it. Actually, it's been been a lot of fun. And I think Coop and I played for about 2.5 hours the other night and got through the first little campaign there. But if you get that, then we just got to track down a fourth, or maybe somebody listening wants to jump in and help us out. So
yeah, I just need a game that doesn't have a big heavy story, and I can just get in there and screw around for a couple hours. Because right now, you know, I'm playing Mass Effect, and holy shit, quite the story on that game.
Well, if you can't get into the multiplayer side of that, if you're looking for a storyless game that you can just mess around in, I'd recommend Just Cause 2.
Yeah, I don't know about that game.
That game is something else. I wish that had multiplayer.
That'd be crazy.
Parachute battles and grapple onto each other and drop a guy down the face of a mountain.
I think you got something there.
All right, moving on through. We're going to make record time tonight. Game that's been sitting in my queue, I've actually got... I think I counted the other day. Now I'm up to 4 unopened games, and at least 2 that I've put less than an hour into that I still want to play. And you know, we've got a review of BioShock 2 up there, so I don't really want to talk about that. We talked about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood last week, and Assassin's Creed 2 is the other big one on my list, but. One that might have slipped by people's radars because it's a little bit different.
A little bit?
Yeah, a little bit different. Is Bayonetta. Bayonetta was released back in February, but it's made by the guys that originally created Devil May Cry, which was one of my favorite games on the PS2 and still one of my favorite series, and Dante's easily one of my favorite characters. I love the art style of that series, and I love anything to do with demons, and so anything that these guys touch at Platinum Games, I pay attention to. And the other nice factor was that it was published by Sega, and it sold pretty well. And Sega hadn't had a new original franchise to succeed in a while, so it was kind of nice that it was all tied to that. But It's one of those Devil May Cry really stylish action games, except even more over the top, if you can believe it, than what Devil May Cry tried to do. And the problem is, Devil May Cry at some point hit a point where it became extremely hard. And you know, I thought Devil May Cry 2 and 3, the action was actually too nonsensical and almost chaotic. But there's something about Bayonetta not taking itself very seriously that the action becomes so chaotic that it's almost like a dance, kind of like just very... It plays a lot more fluid than it actually looks, and you realize you don't have to pay attention to everything that's going on or the response of every button that you're hitting, and everything just kind of feels right, and you more or less just go through the motions, and you get the feel of when you're winning or losing a fight, and it's just a very interesting and polished action experience. And I've played about 30 or 45 minutes into the game, and I put it down for whatever else came out next, and then it got pushed back in the queue. But I'm really looking forward to actually going back to play that a little bit.
So is the controversy surrounding that game about her being naked, is that even that big a deal?
No. I mean, it's got that weird kind of Japanese angle to it, but the character itself is just kind of welcoming it and kind of doing it in a winking fashion, but you never actually see anything. Like the thing is, like, as you get combos going and things get more and more ridiculous, like, basically her suit is her hair, like, all wrapped around her body, and that becomes looser and looser, and I like her hair becomes a weapon, and it's just, you have to see it to, I can't even describe it, but you know.
I remember you talking about that like a year ago.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I love those action games. I really like Devil May Cry 4. Was one of my favorite surprises last year when I played it, and so that's why I kind of had hopes for this one, and it's a lot of fun. I just never sat down to put in the, you know, the 10 hours to really knock it out. And the other thing is she has guns strapped to her high heel shoes, and she can just, you know, twirl around and shoot those in a 360 circle, and you just pull off a bunch of crazy maneuvers, but you don't have to do much to do it, and it feels really satisfying and crazy, and like, you know, if you like bad B movies or Japanese action, like, it's just got an interesting combination of all that going on with really fun gameplay, and you won't forget it if you play it. So I'm definitely looking forward to actually having a couple nights where I sit down and play that again in the near future, and hopefully it holds up through the end. But all the reviews were overwhelmingly positive about it, so it's kind of one of those surprise hits that got lost in the shuffle earlier in the year. So, all right, kind of takes us through what's in our queue, and now talk a little bit about Horrible Night, not HorribleNight.com, and we're still continuing to build out a lot of our series of editorials, and Christine and I were batting around a few ideas last week, and hopefully you'll see a few reviews pop up and a few new ideas pop up here in the next couple weeks. But what we could really use some help on is just trying to get the word out about the site, and mainly through Facebook and Twitter seems to be the easiest way to do that. And last week you saw that we actually created a Twitter account for The Horrible Show, which is at The Horrible Show, that'll kind of go back and review some highlights from past podcasts, and also try to prompt people to actually get involved with the podcast and ask us questions, and also let you know when new podcasts have been posted, and kind of a breakdown of what we covered, so you don't have to visit the site to get that information. And then we've got our regular Horrible Night Twitter account at Horrible Night that continues to just post links to any of the articles that are new on the site as they are published. And also we're on the lookout for kind of big news in the industry that is more headlines type of stuff that doesn't necessarily need an article, or game sales, or just promoting any of our friends out there in the community, like Geek Soap and Saturday Morning Central, and others that we'll come across, just to kind of let you know what's going on with their sites. And on the Horrible Night Twitter page, we've got several Twitter lists that follow the game industry, from lists of developers, lists of media folk, and also all of our cursed Twitter accounts are listed on there. And if you want to follow our conversation, you can get to that through our Twitter page. And then if Twitter's not for you, we're also on Facebook, and at facebook.com/horriblenight, and you can get involved by commenting on posts that we make there, and sending us photos and videos that we might want to check out. And it's also tied into our YouTube page and a lot of our other social sites. But what we really need help with is just kind of getting the word out past all of our inner circle, just trying to get to the friends of friends that are gamers like us, that wish they had more time to play games, but also you know, have a life, have a job they're going after, and still want to stay informed and still want to talk about video games with, you know, people that aren't overly obsessed about them, and still try to find a balance of making sure their game time is used as best as possible for on the games that are actually worth playing. So we'd love it for you to help us kind of spread the word and hope to hear from you. So, all right, before we take off, just kind of go one more time around the internet table to get some parting words. And Christina has vowed not to rant tonight and kind of break the cycle a little bit, just because she was on such a roll that we didn't want the pressure to continually build for her to perform. So we'll see if she's calmed down a little bit. But what's on your mind, Christina?
I'm calm. Well, I just wanted to talk about audio diaries in video games. This is me trying to be calm. I think that BioShock did it very well. I loved how you could, you had the whole first-person shooter kind of experience, but you still got a whole story without interrupting the gameplay. But there's a lot of games now that have stolen that, and I'm not saying that BioShock was the first, but BioShock was the first I saw that did it very well.
I'd say they applied it the best, for sure.
And Halo ODST, again, not a fan. It was mainly the audio diaries that killed it for me, because there was this girl on most of them that would... I could not place her accent or what accent she was trying to do. I don't know if she was like... She kind of sounded French at times, and then kind of Russian, and then Indian, and I don't know. I was too distracted by the horrible voice acting. And I mean, it was just, there was no story to tell. They were talking about a robot. I mean, it's stuff that had nothing to do with Halo. So wasn't a fan of that. And I've only been playing Crackdown 20 minutes tonight, and I've already seen that they're doing the same thing, audio diaries, and immediately, I don't care. Crackdown doesn't really have an in-depth story, you know? I mean, just jump really high and blow shit up. That's basically it. So
it should be on the box.
Yeah. So I hope that the next games to use the audio diary technique, use it sparingly, and if it's necessary to move the storyline along, then do it. But don't just do it for the sake of, you know, copying a game that did it right.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the first games were that did it, but I mean, it worked so well in BioShock 1 that I was reading reviews of Crackdown 2, and somebody mentioned that they had audio logs on there, and I laughed. It's just they even said, he's like, you don't have to try to get into the story, even though there's not really one, or the world of Pacific City, but the fact that they even bothered to put it in there is pretty humorous.
It's just one more thing to collect, you know. It's trying to make a game seem bigger than it is by forcing you to spend hours looking for those damn things. So, yeah. Which I, of course, will do, because I have a pack rat complex. I have to collect everything. So, I see that when I Googled video game audio diaries, I see that Alien vs. Predator had them as well. I'm not sure if that's a newer game or not.
Well, there's been two versions of Alien vs. Predator. Mm. I don't know. We'll look that up.
That probably is the newer one. I see a date here. February 20th was this review, so...
Yeah. I'm actually going to... I'll keep looking it up while we move on to... Cole, what's on your mind before we take off?
Well, last week we talked about what I was looking forward to this summer, and I was looking forward to the Summer of Arcade, but... If my reading of the sun and the stars is correct, the summer started on June 21st or 22nd this year, and those games aren't coming out until the end of July through August. That's like middle of summer, late summer, and I'm an impatient man. I want to play Limbo. I want to play Castlevania. Now.
Well, welcome to Xbox Live Arcade. Welcome back to the 360. This is how it works. They tease us in June with E3, and luckily they didn't do it this year. They usually do the dashboard updates that take forever to come out. And
I saw stuff on the news sites today that they're talking about that coming out next week. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think it was just for the arcade library though.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Summer of Arcade's always been the end of summer. If you think about it, like right now would be perfect for it to hit, but they're still going to be within a couple weeks of it. So
you would think if they want kids to stay indoors and not do outside-y summer things, that they would put them earlier in the summer, because you know that's around when school starts. So. The later games of the Summer Arcade.
You're right. They should work backwards to do it 2 weeks from when school, 2 weeks before school should start. So,
They've planned that out deliberately. See, they release it in the fall when the kids are working the hardest, and the kids who manipulate their parents to go out and buy these games for them, they will be playing these games for hours and hours, and they will do horrible in school, and they'll fail, and they'll wind up, you know, just living in their parents' basement for the rest of their lives and spending all that time playing more video games. So they are doing it deliberately. They are thinking of the future gamer.
Future gamer this cannot move out of his parents' place.
Yep.
Gotcha.
All right.
I did a quick look through Giant Bomb's archive on audio logs and games that are attached to it, and one of the first ones I see actually is System Shock 1, which was actually made by that made BioShock, so they've carried that through. That was in 94. I think that's the earliest one. It's the earliest one I saw. And I forgot that Doom 3 had it. But anyway, I don't know why, but every time I think of the 4th of July, I think of my fond times with GameSpot.com. That was the site that I kind of grew up with the internet, because that was the main reason I first started getting online, was to look up video game videos and new images of upcoming games, because that just, you know, I remember the first E3 that they covered the Nintendo 64 at, it just, that was where I could find all this breaking news and not have to wait till my Nintendo Power came out to get this information. It was incredible.
Do you remember printing out a picture of Blast Corps and putting it in your locker?
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
I actually had an entire folder of just Nintendo 64 stuff, because it was, yeah, I put it up in my locker because school started in August, and I believe the 64 came out in like September or October or something early in that fall. But
I'll have to tell that story someday.
Yeah, we'll have to come back to that. Anyway, 4th of July. One of the things that GameSpot used to do was release all these ridiculous videos showing explosions in the current video games and some retro video games, and put it to some classic kind of Stars and Stripes music. And I don't know why, that just always stood out to me, and I went on a hunt to try to find those old videos to realize that there's only really crappy versions of them out there, and the ones on GameSpot's site actually require a Windows Media Player to be used, and they're not in the right player. And it was really frustrating, because I was looking forward to posting like all of them for our 4th of July post, but they weren't out there. So I was just kind of reminiscing about that, because I love those kind of just compilation videos of explosions. Did you just step on a cat?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Sorry. No, she just jumped on me and wanted to say hi. So we'll do a cat segment next
Welcome
week.
Welcome to the podcast.
I just like that I asked if you stepped on a cat, and you said yes. All right, well, I'm derailed. That's
I'm sorry.
Fucking cat. That's all I'm saying. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to be back next week with a new member of the Cursed and try to find a retro-related topic for everybody to kind of reminisce about some classic games. And so we'll be back next Wednesday. And until then, if you've got any questions and want to get a shout-out on the show, email us at simon@horriblenight.com. And we'll be happy to talk through your questions as long as they're interesting. if you send me a sucky question, I'll call you out for sending me a sucky question. But that's all you're going to get. Anyway, Cole, Christina, thanks for hanging out tonight. And we will see you next week.
Later.
Bye.